Yo, BJ Gador with the BJ Gador podcast. In today's episode, I am poolside in my backyard with a beautiful desert view, and I wanted to talk to you about sabbatical. Now, there's some ambient noise that'll be going on throughout the episode because, again, I wanted to get comfortable and really just speak to you about what was most likely one of the best months of my life. You know, we took the entire month of August off from work, and it was such a long-time career goal for us. You know, for those unfamiliar with what the term sabbatical is, you know, typically a term or a thing reserved for teachers, professors, you know, people of tenured positions, doctors, etc., whereby you get a 3 to 6 month minimum up to, you know, 1 to 2+ years where you can just kind of get away. You know, you get away from your job, your profession, your career to explore. It can be continuing education. It can be a complete departure from your day to day. It can be a much needed, you know, recovery period from the stresses of your life, of your career, of whatever it is, you know. And I am definitely someone that, you know, I remember my vacations in my 20s. It was difficult for me to unplug, you know, because I was addicted to my work. I put everything I had into my work when I was young. It was everything to me. It was my identity. And I'd be at, you know, beautiful places with my favorite people. And I just couldn't get my mind present. And I couldn't really fully enjoy those trips and times. And then to be on this particular trip and to just like to have not only no desire to do any quote unquote work and do whatever the fuck I wanted to do day in, day out, but no guilt and no itch to go back to the work. You know, that was to me one of the biggest struggles of being an entrepreneur, and to be able to get there was a great achievement in my own mind. It's funny what we consider to be achievements. You know, it's all relative, and it tends to change also with age. And just turned 41 this past weekend. Happy to say that I'm on the other side of the hump when it comes to getting over, you know, quote unquote midlife crisis. Kind of getting excited about getting older in terms of what unique advantages it provides versus what disadvantages it takes or gives. So, but I don't know where you are in your life. So many people listen to this from a wide variety of walks of life, circumstances. But when you can get away and when you can get to the point where you wake up and you only do what you want to do day in, day out for an extended period of time. And again, like, I think it's important to be able to do this for at least a month in my mind, because again, I think it takes you about 7 to 10 days to get into a new flow or get out of a rut or a real structured, rigid schedule. You know, there's like 3 to 5 days of most vacations total, you know, going, coming and going, all that, getting into that you lose just in the travel and the setup and all that stuff, the planning. So, you know, and for us, it took a long time. It took a while to get to the point where we could even, like, I never wanted to go more than like 3 to 5 days typically, right? I try to limit myself to getaways because, you know, it is tough to get out of a routine and get back in. The most I had done previously, I think we did maybe 7 to 10 days was actually in my adult life, like besides spring break in college, which was, you know, upwards of 10 to 14 days. I think the last longest vacation I have taken in my adult life was in the range of 7 to 10 days. In this month, it wasn't enough, but it was enough in the sense that it's going to kind of set a tone for us moving forward. And again, we decided to take the month of August off because it's typically just a brutal time for the business. You know, the dog days of summer, also super hot here. So it's nice to kind of get away to a cooler area. We've kind of vacationed in the Malibu, Topanga area. And I'll talk about some of that as well, because I had some amazing hikes and amazing food. If you're ever in that area, I definitely have some recommendations I want to share as well. But, you know, if you are in a situation where you desperately need clarity, and again, this is tough because, you're like, we had to work our whole lives to get to the point where, you know, we could go take this time off. Cause again, we don't have, any accountabilities, in person. All the stuff that we do online can be, stuff can be scheduled, right? Newsletters and content and sales and all that. So yeah, but at the same time too, like, you know, I started, you know, people that just jump in, like my first job in fitness was cleaning toilets and cleaning the cardio equipment in a local gym close to Amherst College in Amherst, Massachusetts. You know, that was in, you know, 2003, 2004, let's say 20 years ago. So yeah, I have a very unique appreciation for my personal progression in my career over the last 20 years. That's where it started. No outside investments, no money to speak of in terms of, you know, how did we get started? My wife and I literally built everything we have from scratch. So, you know, it took a long time, and the beauty of it too. And I actually was, I had her on the podcast recently, Jen Wiederstrom. She was a trainer on The Biggest Loser, and she was also Phoenix on the reboot of American Gladiators. And we exchanged, a voice message, just kind of checking in with each other. And she just had some time in Iceland to kind of get away and just think. And, you know, the beauty of it being, you know, at the time being 40, a month ago, having almost experienced a full year at the age of 40, like typically these extended vacations or sabbaticals are reserved for people much older, you know? In a lot of cases, people sometimes don't get to the point to do something like this for themselves until they're 70 or 80 or more. And, you know, what Jen was pointing out too is like her parents are that age and they finally got to get away and do stuff like that, but they're in pain. Sadly, they're in pain. They can't do the things they used to. And, you know, they don't have that vitality, to really experience these environments and these types of things, that they could have, you know, even 10, 20 years ago, nonetheless 40 years ago. So I share that message with you, you know, people that are younger than me listening. You've got to find the time. You've got to make the time and you've got to set the plan to sooner than later take some sort of sabbatical, you know, and it's going to take a combination of planning and saving. And, it also might take some, you know, very, ballsy, bold decisions. You know, maybe you're on a career track that is just, it's a dead end and you've got to wake up and you've got to get the fuck out of that situation because life is too short to get stuck in something like that and then find yourself at 60, 70 and 80. Maybe finally able to do stuff like this, but not with the same vigor and vitality you had in your youth. And by the way, people think perspective is just for people when they get super old. No, if anything, you want to get that perspective at a young enough age where you can truly make some of these changes you need to make to live the rest of your life on your own terms in a more ideal way for your own quality of life and happiness. And you know, I look at kind of how each day lined up and, you know, we wake up, no alarm. And, you know, typically we'll start with some coffee. My wife and I will talk and typically, you know, we'll talk outside with some good views and, you know, think about planning the day or we'll talk about some content we watched the previous day or, you know, I love conversation, especially conversation with my wife. We have good laughs, good insights. Sometimes it's, you know, serious, profound topics. Others, it's just ridiculous, funny conversations, but you know, our dog is there too. It's just, it's our little pack. And then, you know, like any day that I would have when there's no work required, I get into movement, man. Like one of the things I really uncovered in this trip, and it's something that you'll uncover too when you can find a way to get away for a long enough period of time where, you know, again, like no social media. I mean, my buddy Jeremy Scott says this all the time. Life happens outside of social media. None of that bullshit. And I love to exercise. I love to move with passion and purpose. I truly do. I don't really care to share it, talk about it, teach it, film it. I'm just being honest with you. I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I need to do it. And I'm going to do it to the highest level I can because I take pride and discipline in what I do. But if I didn't have to, I wouldn't. I love, because to me, and you know, it's part of why I live in the desert, because I love, it's just so meditative. It's you in the elements, you know, and I get to see these fucking mountains and these beautiful horizons. And I see the way the sun hits those mountains in different ways at varying degrees throughout the day. And it just reminds me of a simple life, of a simpler life, of, you know, the type of life that I think we were hardwired to live. It's a small local life. There isn't any of the bullshit. You know, it's just a beautiful, simple life. And where I'm getting with that is, when you move with passion and purpose and you can do so in the elements, you really appreciate the gift of being able to do so, right? We live in a society right now where people are either, it's an indoor, by the way, addicted to pain pills. And as you know, obviously as because of that, they're that because of the fact that they're in pain. And it's happening at younger ages in a lot of ways too, because, you know, sedentary lifestyles, you know, 70% of this American population is overweight or obese. 7 out of 10 people, man. Like that is insane. I can only imagine what that's going to look like in 10 to 20 years. And obviously weight adds a lot of stress to the body. But when you're in pain, it really sucks to travel or to do things that are fun, things that are recreational, like hiking and, you know, playing in the water, the beach, you know, beach volleyball, water volleyball, a bunch of fun stuff you can do. But, it's just powerful, man. And again, like the way I train today is just so beautiful, in the sense that it's completely intuitive. You know, I typically will just flip an hourglass. If I have a full hour to move, I'll flip an hourglass. I have an idea of how I want to start. In most cases, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I flip it and then I just go. And it's a beautiful point to get there because, you know, when I first started, I couldn't. Like many of you, like you panic about what's the perfect approach and how to do things. And you lose sight of the fact that, no, the real purpose here is just to put in the time. And to ultimately do things that make you feel good and energized and that will give you energy for not only the rest of the day, but also give you excitement and vigor to attack the rest of the day, you know, and not necessarily take away. And I don't mean, by the way, not to take on challenging workouts or challenging blocks of time. But because I didn't have to do my normal workload, I did a lot more training. You know, I would do my hour of movement, and then we would typically do either a hike and indoor beach activity, bodyboarding. I love bodyboarding because, it's got no zero learning curve. It's about as safe as it gets in terms of ocean sports. And, but man, the Pacific Ocean, the gift that is the Pacific Ocean, the energy, the chill, the waves, the tide, you know, you'll see seals come by and, it's just but by the way, this is the appeal of surfing, in my opinion, and not necessarily riding waves, but those dudes and women, they literally, I see it. They take true joy in just being out in the ocean all day long, day in, day out. Like there's no need for variety there because they get it. It's about experiencing the natural world. And, there's a social aspect to it as well. It's a lifestyle, but, you see all of that and it's just like, wow, man, like all the things that I've allowed in my life up until this point to take emotional bandwidth or distract me from what really matters in this life. And I know you know what I'm talking about because a lot of us are forced to experience that day to day. But getting away from that for an extended period of time, again, you find out a lot about yourself. What you would do any given day without having a set schedule reveals a lot about you. And by the way, we all have different things. Like some of you may want to do work because you enjoy your work so much. And but maybe it's a different style of work. You know, like, by the way, I also, I mean, and Naomi was the same way. She didn't actually do any specific writing on this sabbatical, but she got a lot of ideas for her Twisted Mirror podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. Future book ideas that she wants to write. You know, I got finally enough time away from, making daily content and monthly content that I could really think about, like, and I even started looking back at some of my older content and it gave me such unique perspective about like what's changed in the last 10 years or so. And what lessons I can take from, my older stuff, and apply with the improvements I've made in some ways. And also, frankly, some of the things that I've lost touch with that was at the core of what got me where I am today and building this whole thing. But again, like when you are stuck in the day to day, you can't find that time. And it can take 7 to 14 days minimum just to be able to switch over and just like front load that recovery enough to the point where you get that clarity. And what's interesting too is, it's so crazy, how impacting stress is. And again, I don't even have to be super stressed out, but just a typical work day, if it's 9 to 5 for you, let's say it's, when I'm really in a heavy work mode, it's 6 to 6. And then I try not to run this style of workload, you know, too often because it really takes away. That's like a playoff level of work mode. And, I'm able to do it in spots, but I certainly will not commit to something like that on a regular basis. It's not worth it. Takes away too much from me to do what I do best and to really enjoy life, knowing that I can drop dead any day. And, I mean, this is definitely just a rant or stream of consciousness, but I did feel compelled to share this with you because it was like legitimately one of the best months of my life. And it gives you, in some sense, your first taste of what retirement might look like. But retirement to me doesn't mean sitting on my ass doing nothing. It means doing what you feel called to do. Activity is a part of my life. You know, over the course of the trip, I did some of the best hikes available to people. One of my favorite hikes is the Point Magoo hike. It's, you got to go a little bit, you're kind of going north toward Ventura on PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, you know, past Malibu. And just, it's an incredible, you just keep climbing and it's kind of circular as you climb up and you can see all of Los Angeles, all of the Pacific Ocean, as you climb up. And it's a really nice steady incline as well. And you know, one thing, by the way, I did all these hikes. I did the Temescal Canyon hike, which starts with like this incredible steep, like super steep. Naomi was pissed. She had no, I looked at like the message board of the hike for this. And it said, well, there's two ways you can do it. One is you can kind of go, there's an alternate way that isn't steep, doesn't have like a big upward push. And you get a nice waterfall view. And the other one is like, it's basically like you get kind of kicked in the dick right out of the gate. It's so steep and it's nonstop. And she got through it. But she was a little bit pissed at one moment. It got a little bit hostile. But she was grateful that she was able to go on it. And it was kind of a, you know, smooth sailing from that point. But I did the sand dunes as well. That's also on PCH, which is just like a mountain of sand. You can go up and down. And ultimately, what I noticed is like, wow, my breathing is on a whole nother level. Like typically stuff like this would be just, it'd be fun and different, but it would be so intense. I couldn't, like it would take away maybe the rest of the day. I'd be so exhausted, but all the breath work that I've done, all the breath work that's been baked into the workouts and programming at the dailybj.com TDBJ app, really since the pandemic, when I decided to really just go hard into the breathing component and share that with you guys and gals along the way. And then we just bake it now into our programming outside of specific breathing programs or protocols. Like, you know, almost every exercise we do, I give you a breathing strategy to work on. So it's baked in to the workout, but all my daily walks and hikes, and I recently got some new rucking gear, weighted vest, indoor weighted backpack gear that I'll be sharing and talking about in coming episodes. Also, I'll be making some like content about it as well. You know, again, I love weighted walks or weighted training in general. So, you know, you train heavy so you can play light. But what I'm getting at is like, my breathing was so dialed in, I wasn't exhausted, and I had fun. Like when you're like out of shape and you're doing stuff like that, you're so exhausted and you're so out of breath that you can't even like look around and experience the joy, the views. Your senses can't really feel what's going on because you're dying, right? And I was like a fucking machine. I did the Point Magoo with a weighted vest. It was only 20 pounds, but you know, it's a that particular hike I did 45 minutes up and then you just come back down. But I got further than I ever did on the hike with a weight vest. And it just, again, like this is why you train. You know what I'm saying? Like for those of you that are like, you know, wondering sometimes like, why am I doing this? Well, it's hard to know why you're doing this if you're always stuck in the fucking gym, into the walls of a gym. You know, there's a purpose for that. I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying like, if that's all you're doing, you don't have the perspective you need. Like, and by the way, the whole point of that isn't just to not be fat and to be in shape or to look a certain way. It's so that you can take this beautiful body you've been given and go out in the fucking elements and use it and make it so when you go on vacations and trips, you don't have to worry ever about gaining weight because you're going to be so fucking active because it's not only part of your DNA, but this is a unique opportunity for you to show yourself the benefits of all the training you've been doing. So the breath work piece blew me away, like how relaxed and how fun it was doing what would like wipe out most people. The other piece of it too is like all the work that we've been doing with slant boards. Because when you do hikes and stuff, a lot of uneven terrain, a lot of incline, decline. If you're not ready for it, you know, like you can very easily get some joint pain, you know, some knee pain, some foot ankle pain, some back pain. And I had none of that. Like I generated some excellent, you know, occasional next day soreness, but that wasn't like too fatiguing that I didn't want to do anything the next day, but like, oh wow, there was some good work here accomplished, but not so much. I didn't annihilate myself because, I trained for it, right? And the beauty of it too is I've been doing these walks, like all summer. I'm the only person in my neighborhood that's out there in the summer doing my daily walks, in what is a sauna. So going from there to like temperatures like 30 plus degrees cooler, I was like the T-1000 out there in terms of pace, but relaxed, and it was just beautiful. But I felt all the gains I've made in mobility around the foot, the ankle, all that heel elevated work to really fortify the knees came in clutch, because I did the Santa Monica stairs too, which is definitely something I recommend if you're in that area too. They're famous. You can just Google it on Google Maps or what Apple Maps, whatever you're using, And it's this series of just stairs. And I just went for an hour. And at the base, there's a bar you can jump on and do pull-up work. So I would do like some pull-ups, some hanging leg raises or hangs. One gentleman who was also working out there too, he left his BJJ gi and wrapped it around. So like people could just hang on it. Cause the foam pole that we were using was pretty high. And then at the top, I was doing weighted push-ups. I would just power step up. I would start with some pull-ups hangs or hanging leg raises, power step up, mostly every other step, occasionally every step I'd mix it up, get to the top of those stairs, heart rate, maxed out. And then I would do push-ups and then I would recover back down and I just go for an hour and, just an amazing workout. And then we spent the rest of the day, just walking through Venice. One of my favorite workouts too on the trip, just a classic Muscle Beach workout. And again, I don't use they have a free weight section that is well known because of Arnold and the golden era bodybuilding, but they also have a bunch of like calisthenic sections. So I just did, there was rings, pull up and parallel bars. And I was just in a big sand section. So I just, you do a good hour of training and just, you start easier and you just ramp up. And, I did about 40 minutes of just a mix of bar work going from, push-up variations to an inverted row variations to dip variations to pull-up variations. Then I finished with 20 minutes of lunging in the sand, all directions, forwards, backwards, lateral, just applying all the knowledge that, the training and programming has provided over the years. And again, stuff that our veteran members can continue to unlock as they build their movement database. And then I go right from there, for a nice cool down, for another 30, 60 minutes of just bodyboarding and just ocean play in the waves. I mean, this is peak living. You know what I'm saying? Like this is, and I'm doing it, in my 40s, at an age where when I was young, I thought that was, over the hill, all those, the best days are behind me again. And I was listening to a podcast today, a good friend of mine in the industry, one of the guys I respect the most in the industry, Mike Robertson. I'm going to get him on the podcast soon. And he was just talking about how if he knew when he was 25 that he would feel this good at 45, A, it would have blown him away, and B, it would have changed his perspective and thought process as well, because a lot of what we hold on to as we age is what we thought it would be like to be that age when we were young. And you got to let that shit go. The whole point, you get to a point in life where you've already had so much structure that what you need is more fun, and you need more improvisation, more creativity, more free flow, more freestyle. And again, you also realize too, the only thing that really matters is you want to feel good. You don't want to be in any pain. And yeah, you want to look good for sure, but ultimately you just want to feel good. You just want to feel good. And there's some days I really want to push myself and I savor those days. It reminds me that I still had that ability to do that, but I also know that it's a long race, so you must pace, and you got to find a sustainable way of doing things day in, day out, week in, week out. But this was also the first trip I've taken, and a lot of times people go on a trip, right, and you panic, like, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose all my gains. I got to figure out my diet. I got to figure out my workout program. Well, again, like, my workout program travels like a championship defense. There's no limitations because my body is my barbell. And if you're a member of the Daily BJ app, your body is your barbell. I teach you how to do this. I've been teaching you how to do this for a long time. And by the way, the best way to really learn this stuff is, you commit to a program like we have and continuing content, progressive content and all that stuff, variety of content. But then you find these unique opportunities, these getaways, these vacations, these sabbaticals, and you try to apply it and you create your own stuff. You take what you've learned and you mold it in your own image. And that's the only way to master this stuff. I'm just telling you right now. I'm not saying don't follow what I do or follow what other people do. I still think there's value in that, especially if you're not someone that does this for a living and or has the gift of this particular space. Not all of us have it. Look, I don't sing or dance because I don't have those gifts, but you know, at the same point, you can't just always get spoon-fed and expect you'll never get over the hump of trusting yourself, trusting your body, and trusting your mind. So, from that standpoint, like, it was such an active trip. I got in better shape by the end of the trip, particularly, like, really pushed my legs with all the hiking that I was doing, weighted and also heavy incline, also stuff in sand. So just to make gains on the trip, to be a little bit looser with my diet, but still, like, again, my diet travels like a championship defense. I do what I do every day. I have coffee to start the day. I have my Athletic Greens. And by the way, you get 5 free travel packs and a 1-year supply of vitamin D by going through my link, AG1 as it's called now. And it's not just a greens powder. It's a complete nutritional supplement, 75 whole food ingredients, 8 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables, probiotics for digestive health. Literally the only thing I take every day, supplement wise. And I will continue to for as long as it's available because of its unique benefits. And if you're not taking something like that, I highly recommend it. You know, that's a powerful investment. Micronutrition into your diet, powerful investment, a daily investment. And, they have travel packs and stuff you can take with you as well. But I pound that with water. I have my coffee black because I'm old. I don't need cream anymore. The older you get, 10 years ago, I couldn't fathom having coffee black, but now it's, my taste buds are a little bit different and I actually really enjoy black coffee. And I will occasionally treat myself to some coffee with some cream. All right. But you know, the beauty of discipline is that it just gets better every year if you work it daily. And it's not about punishing yourself. It's about the fact that, like, here's an example. All right. So, every birthday I have a nice piece of carrot cake and my wife got me a bunch of, like, I think we got 4 total pieces of, like, and they're huge, of the Cheesecake Factory carrot cakes. And, you know, back in the day, I would have like maybe 3 to 4 on one day. But I had my one, and I had it a la mode with some pure vanilla ice cream. We either go with Tillamook or Häagen-Dazs vanilla. There's another one too. What's it called? It's from Whole Foods. I forget the name of the brand. But anyway, and some whipped cream. And God, it was delicious. And I can still, you know what? I was proud of myself because I can still fucking go hard. I can still eat a whole fucking carrot cake, not even feel it, not even notice it the next day at 41. And again, I did a lot of work up until that point during that work week to earn it. But there was still more carrot cake left. And when you have the mindset, when you have a scarcity mindset, in the sense like, well, I better take advantage of it. You know, it's my birthday. I got to have it. It's available now. No, I was like, you know what? I got all the enjoyment I needed out of that. I actually could still go and eat another piece of cake if I wanted to, but I'm going to save it for next Friday and I'm going to spread out the deliciousness. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's a mindset that, you know, maybe some of you have had, but for me, because food has been a lifelong struggle in terms of managing my appetite and, you know, finding moderation and balance with all these things, you know, that's part of enjoying the process and recognizing the small accomplishments along the way. Like, yeah, I mean, I threw back a massive piece of carrot cake and I had a lot of other treats that day too. But I finally got into the point where I don't go to sickness or excess. My body tells me when to stop and my mind recognizes it now. And, I have the discipline. Finally, I have the discipline to know when to save a treat for another day and earn it for another day and appreciate it more. You'll appreciate those 2 pieces of carrot cake more having one piece on a Friday and then waiting to have the other piece the next Friday than you will having both pieces in the same day. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's that, your body can only handle so much richness. And not only is that not a good thing for your body on a regular basis, but you don't want to be desensitized to treats or to special occasions. And this comes with anything. you know, alcohol, recreational drug use, gambling. I mean, whatever you want to, whatever vices or things that you enjoy, you just got to make sure you don't go past the tipping point of enjoyment where you start to tap into excess. And, you know, that's tough. That takes a lot of time, practice, and experience. And there's no blueprint for it. And we're all so different in terms of what unique drives we have and what prioritization we give each of our unique drives and how we have to organize it within our unique lifestyle to find joy and how we navigate that within an environment that might be conflicting. Because you might live with people that have different joys and different wants and needs and drives, and they may not only not marry, they might cause disagreement. So, you know, there's a lot of existential talk here, but, you know, I appreciate that part of it too. But to be able to go away for a month with no real plan beyond just enjoy each day and move with passion and purpose daily. And again, I'll have, if we had lunch, it would be something very light. Or I'd have like throw back a Fairfield, protein, ready to drink protein drink or a couple Koya plant protein drinks. Or I could have made a shake or something, but again, I tried to keep it pretty loose. It was a vacation. I don't want to have to do too much prep and stuff. And at the end of the day, it was mostly a protein and produce meal. And then on, you know, on an extended trip like that, you know, where typically most of the time I'm more on, and I've talked about this too extensively. You can check out past episodes about my flexible eating progressions or stages, if you will, where like if I am in a more maintenance phase and or more of a holiday or celebration phase or vacation phase, you know, I might be 4 days of really focused eating close to or near perfection, very rigid, structured comparatively, and then 3 days flexible, meaning that I still focus on the 80% that I do every day, but I give myself that extra 20% of enjoyment. And it was about that in the sense that, you know, I gave myself a little bit of flexibility on Thursday. I gave myself a lot of flexibility on Friday, and then whatever flexibility I needed more to get my true fill for that given week I had on Saturday. But then, you know, Sunday I'm right back on track. That's just the way I live my life. And when I want to tighten it up, I go more five focus, two flexible. When I'm pretty locked in, it's typically six focus, one flexible. And again, I can't remember really the last time where I was 7-0. Like, I just don't find the need for it at this stage of life. And if something comes up that requires it, I'll consider it. But, you know, it was really just a great trip. And, you know, we watched so many shows, I guess a couple of recommendations I can remember off of it. I think it's called One Deep Breath. It's this free diving movie on Netflix that was just mind blowing. And for those of you that are like really committed to the breathing work we've done, and you can see what these people are capable of training their bodies and minds to do, going into deep, heavy water pressures without on a single breath for, you know, 3 to 4 plus minutes. And you tell me that the stuff we do is tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the type of stuff you can really get perspective on. And, but I did want to share this with you because I had a recent, you know, I've spoken with a couple people recently, some of which actually have the ability to take sabbatical. You know, they're both not only financially stable enough, and or they've built up enough time away from their work where they could take this time. But for some reason, they haven't taken the jump. Let me take a little drink of water here. I'm outside and it's though it is September, it's still kind of a warm day. Delicious. Propel Black Cherry. That's the flavor right there, man. That is the flavor. But they haven't. And I just wonder why. And if you find yourself in that position where you're pushing it off, you don't think you're ready. And by the way, like, I get it, because I don't mean to be alarmist, but all things point to, you know, some real tough economic times ahead. I mean, we all feel it. We all see it. Inflation has been at it for a couple of years now since the pandemic. People are now just quitting their jobs without a plan B. They just quit. And people are living on credit cards. So yeah, the floor might fall underneath from us in some senses. But again, like, you know, the way you live, you plan and prepare for bad situations. We just live in this type of economy. If you live in a capitalist society, there are these ebbs and flows. There are booms and recessions. It has seemed, though, that we've been in some sort of extended recession since the turn of the century that I hope we can find a way to get out of. But if not, we may do with what we can. But a lot of people right now are going to have to start making some even more difficult financial decisions and cut some things and find even more discipline in their life. But let me just get ahead of it in the sense that do not allow yourself to cut out your investment in fitness, whether it be time, money, resources, or all of the above. Because just like we talked about during the pandemic, that it, when things get tough like that outside of your bubble, you got to go all in to your health and fitness. Because I'm telling you right now, man, like nothing feels as good as being in shape at 41. I think of all the accomplishments in my life and a lot of the mistakes, and maybe I could have been further along in some cases, whatever else, but like I really got it right when it came to understanding the importance of those daily deposits to my health and fitness. And again, I could drop dead tomorrow. All, that's out of my control. But what I have been able to control, I mean, there hasn't gone a day where I haven't done at least an hour of positive stuff for my body. Because I know the mind can only go as far as the body. The body allows the mind to fully realize its potential. And, you know, some of you that might be cynical of that or might be more cerebral and less physical. I don't know why you're listening to this fucking podcast, but you might be, you might think, oh, that's just meathead speak, but you don't get it. I was mentioning this to, I think I mentioned this to Great Justice on the time of recording this last podcast we did about Jack Lane. And, you know, there's such power in being able to say that, you know, this man, he worked out the morning of his death. He died of pneumonia at 96. But every one of those days he lived was to, he did exactly what he wanted to do within his own abilities at that time. And up until he was about 80, this guy was pushing the limit of what a young man could do at 80 because of his positive mindset and the daily discipline, that daily drip of movement and its incredible snowball effect over time. And constantly challenging himself on land, in water, and, you know, and then connecting to a bigger purpose to help other people do the same thing to keep him accountable, because it's not easy, you know, and that's the power of that as well. And, you know, one thing we try to do in the Daily BJ app is we try to really create a positive space. You can go to any internet chat room or any social media platform or anything on the internet and typically all you'll find some positivity and some cat videos and some other bullshit, but there's negativity everywhere. And that's why I really appreciate and respect our members who just bring such a positive mental attitude to that space. We recently had, again, without going into names and stuff, but this is an important thing to talk about. I keep that as a positive space. Now, I've stepped away in a lot of ways in terms of what I used to do in there, in terms of like answering every comment and trying to motivate every person. I'm in a stage of life where I can't do that anymore. It's not sustainable for me. And that is what it is. And if there are people that aren't willing to continue because I used to do that and I don't anymore, it was going to happen at some point. I'm getting older. My perspective and my priorities are changing. It doesn't mean I'm not giving my absolute everything I can to the content I make. And I try to read as many of the comments as I can. If I see a question, I try to answer the question. But we really don't have any questions because we really streamline this whole process. And part of the reason I've stepped back is that so you are forced to interact with the other members. Because they can give you much more of that support and accountability than I can. All right? You don't want to fly too close to the sun. My name's on the building. And you'll never be able to relate, nor can I relate to what you're going through in the way that other members can. But we had an individual who kind of tried to make themselves bigger than the team. And I approach everything I do. I have an athletic background. I was a captain at every level I played. I coached, I did some youth coaching, right out of college. And obviously I've been involved in quote unquote coaching, for the last, couple decades as well. And I'm not everyone's coach because really I'm the type of coach that I'm very hands off. I like to get you started and I like to step away and I like you to do your own walkabout in the desert. And I like you to find out about yourself. I want you to find out about yourself. We have so many different workouts and so many different kind of beginner or ground zero options within the app, a variety of beginner boot camps. By the way, I've been adding so much content. Hundreds of videos have been added, hundreds more to come. Some are follow along, some are instructional. But ultimately, there's so many options in there. And many of that is designed for everyone to be able to do in some way. But when we talk about like an advanced program like Gorilla Corn Gains, I not only don't expect everyone to get through it, I don't want everyone to get through it because then I know it wasn't challenging enough. Now, you learn a lot about people when you put them in a challenging situation. Some people, in fact, everyone except this one individual approached the challenge in a way, okay, here's a real opportunity for growth. A positive mental attitude, a winning mindset. This other individual has been on a trajectory for the last 6 months where just it's been escalating negativity, pessimism, and just whining and complaining like a baby back bitch. And I don't mean that in a negative way or misogynistic way, but like just that's how I would describe it. Bringing their negativity into what is a true positive, safe space for people that are willing day in, day out to test their mental and physical abilities in a way that most other people are not willing or able to. Some people are willing, but not unable to. You know, that's what I'm saying. This is a gift to be able to have the time and resource to be able to do this. There are some people that can't because they have 4+ kids, a single parent household. They're working multiple jobs. Don't forget, that could be your life. And I never forget, that could be my life too. And I've been lucky. I put this whole lifestyle into design decades ago and I've earned it, but I've also gotten lucky and I've gotten opportunities along the way. And I've met some amazing people that have given me the synergy I needed to get here today. And that first started by finding my wife, life and business partner, Naomi, in college. And then a lot of people in industry that I still stay in touch with as well, that I can bounce ideas off and help and get through challenging times in this industry. But the moment that there was a particular comment recently where I was like, oh, wow, this person is truly, he truly has the intent to poison the well. And that's something I will not accept. So in the history of the Daily BJ app, I had to block our first person. No more comments. They can still use the products and the videos, but they're no longer willing. They're no longer able to poison this well. And I'm not, some might say, well, is this a tyranny? No. Well, my name's on the building. And there's such negativity out there that you have to, like, I look at it as like, this is a sacred space you're coming into. You know, you go to a dojo, you take your fucking shoes off. Those are the rules of that particular gym. Now, and by the way, you don't have to comment. You don't have to say anything. Some of our best members have never made a comment in the app, but they keep showing up day in, day out and doing the stuff. Okay? That's fine too. If you want to comment, that's great. You want to interact with people, I encourage it. Okay? But I will not allow anyone to come into this sacred space and try to poison the well. And just some of the language. And I shared this in a newsletter recently too. And just some of the aging attitudes. Like, impossible. I can't do this. I don't like this workout. Like they're a fucking baby. We don't need any of that in our app in this safe space. This is a place that special people come to learn about their bodies, that take physical culture seriously, and are investing in a better quality of life for today and for moving forward. So, and I bring that up again. I'm not mentioning any names. Most of you have no idea, because again, this isn't a specialized advanced program, and this is a longtime customer who spent a lot of money with the business. But money means nothing to me. If you're going to come, like, you're literally just like taking the you're writing 5 paragraphs trying to get people to go against a workout program, which, by the way, is not impossible, which you are fully equipped to be able to take on this particular challenge had you been doing the previous 8 months of training. So, and I bring this up because what I really realized on my sabbatical is that I'm actually a positive person. I am. I have my baby picture, one of my baby pictures on my toilet as a everyday and morning reminder that I started this life with a big smile and joy. I was a joyful baby. And I was mostly up until about, you know, grade high school when I started to get picked on and bullied and became a bully. I got bullied verbally and became a physical bully in response to that. And I was also dealing with a lot of different terrible things in the house. I don't want to get into all that, but, and then I looked at some of my older content before, like, you know, I was small time, like when there wasn't even some social medias, and if it was, I had like a couple thousand people that followed, and you know, before the internet and the men's health audience got their fingers on me and turned me into, you know, and let their negativity and hate bleed into my own life and turn me from a really positive, enthusiastic, energetic individual into someone that hated what they did. I don't hate what I do. In fact, I actually love what I do. I love exercise. I love fitness, but I only love it on my own terms. And I have that right, by the way. I have that right to do it on my own terms. Knowing that it might cost the business as a whole, but it's not sustainable for me if I'm just doing this for the money, or I'm trying to satisfy online customers from hell who make it about themselves when really they're one person out of hundreds of people doing this content. And no one person can go above the team. And by the way, because again, it's a team, it takes a single individual, whether it be in a working environment, an athletic environment, any sort of team environment, gym, whatever you want to fucking call it, to become a cancer. And you know, people talk about the power of positivity, absolutely. But negativity has a 10 times effect. Negativity is the most viral of viruses. It is the Ebola, okay? It is the Ebola in terms of what can happen to a group of people when one negative person wants to spread their negativity to other people. And, you know, that's why there's times where maybe you don't hear from me, or he hasn't done a podcast in a while. If I have a stressful time and I feel like I might be bringing some negative energy, I do the best I can to just to not do it, because I don't want to bring that to you. And again, I'm not perfect. And by the way, like, you might have a bad day and might get frustrated with some of the workouts that we do. That's human. That's natural. But I've been watching this individual for 6 months and it just keeps escalating. And the last message he posted was literally in the 20 years I've been in this business. And this is a person in their 50s. This was a 5-year-old pouting and whining and bitching and moaning. Look, a true misery loves company scenario. And I can't, at this stage of life, I can't tolerate that. Even though this individual, last year alone, he spent maybe $2,500 to $3,000 with us. So it's not all about the money to me, because I would placate the individual if that's the case. Sometimes people have to go. Sometimes, and by the way, in your own life, in your own environment, when you identify toxicity like this, these cancers in your life, don't let them change you. I'm giving you a real tip here about living life to the fullest, a perspective that really I found on this trip. You can't always control this, but again, like, I have set up a life where I can only surround myself with positive people. And when I see some negative come in, I can get rid of that negative influence because I'm not allowing that person to turn me from positive to negative anymore in my life. Those days are done. And by the way, this individual, this is an individual I had really helped along the way. Had sent a birthday message to their family, taking the time out of my busy schedule to do so. And by the way, people charge $500+ for just something like this. And again, I'm no saint. I'm just saying, like, it really shows you that you can't really win with some people anyway. So again, like, just surround yourself with positive people. And I have a lot of stuff that I'll be talking about moving forward as well, you know, in terms of how I've shifted the way I'm looking at doing business, the way I'm going to approach, you know, marketing and social media moving forward, et cetera, the podcast, you name it. But I shared this with you because I do anticipate times to get more tough. We got a crazy volatile election season coming up next year. That's never good for people's mental health. So you have to really be mindful of the toxicities and the poisons around you. Do not let people around you poison your well. Life is hard enough as it is. And it's, by the way, it doesn't make you less of a person. There's some people that can let negativity and hatred and cynicism and all that stuff roll off their back. And some people like me, I can see 100 positive things, which actually don't really do much for me because I'm already positive. And it doesn't diminish the fact that people take the time out of the day to say things. And that's, I love it. It's great. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm not fueled by that because I'm actually a positive person. I wake up each day and I want to do some good stuff. And I try to find light in the heavy and I try to be as fun as I can. But what I've realized too is over the last decade in particular, I've allowed these negative influences on my life to poison my well. And then I look back at the person I was 10 years ago with how much joy I approach in making content and trying to help people. And I actually used to believe I was part of a bigger thing. And then I realized this gentleman last Friday, just I woke up, and as I always do, I wake up and I read the messages to make sure that you guys get your content and it was what you needed to get and everything's fine. And I read this message and I'm like, this motherfucker thinks he's going to come and try to ruin my weekend, my birthday weekend. And that was it. And this isn't a threat. This is just like how we do things. It's a positive space. If you can't bring a positive mental attitude to these workouts, and it's just a fucking workout, some workouts are going to be harder than others. This is not a big deal. In the scheme of life, these don't really matter. It's just about moving and getting it in. I'm trying to show you the best possible way to do it within the circumstances of home, minimal equipment, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you just got to move for an hour, up to an hour or more, most days. Okay. I mean, that's the secret sauce, but we cannot allow negative people to poison our well and not let toxic people bring us down to their level. And it's going to start getting even more toxic. So what can you control? You can control what you put in your mouth for the most part. Maybe, not to the level of buying the things you used to because of inflation and food prices, but you make adjustments and you find a way. Shout out to Costco and buying in bulk. You can control how you move daily, or you can commit to moving daily with passion and purpose, accept the gift of the human body and honor it, not with the purpose of extending one's life, but more so of making sure every day you are here, you're enjoying it to the fullest ability, because life sucks when you can't move and you're in pain. And yes, it's good to look good and be in shape, but ultimately it doesn't hold a candle to how bad it is to be in pain and to lose function and to find yourself in a chair. So I gave you an hour of my time here, unstructured, and I got a little bit fired up at the end here. But again, I'm almost grateful to this individual that tried to poison our well, because it just gives a reminder again that how everyone else, all the other members, you're listening. You just continue to look at a challenge and say, oh no, this isn't impossible. I'm not going to focus on what I can't do. I'll focus on what I can do. And you know what? I have a real growth opportunity here. And that is the winning mindset. Now, you're building this in the gym and you're taking it with you in all aspects of life, and I encourage you to continue to do so. And the final thing, in the 15 seconds left here, please, 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 please put a plan in place and find some time when you're as young as possible to get at least a month away from the day-to-day grind and really connect with yourself so you can change your perspective for the rest of your life. Love you guys. Peace.